Well, good morning, and thank you all for joining us this morning. I wasn't here last week because I had a new grandson that joined us. So Cruz David is doing well, 9 pounds, 1 ounce, and Mom and David got to go home on Thursday. So everybody's doing well, and this is number 5 for Kevin and I, grandchildren, and 6 will be here in August. So everybody's doing well. You know, Governor Branstad is in China this week on a trade mission and will return early on Friday morning. He was able to talk to our chief of staff this morning. He met with President Xi yesterday. And this is a tremendous honor for not only the state of Iowa, but for Governor Branstad to be chosen to lead this trade mission for the National Governors Association. And it continues to build on a relationship that was established in 1985. And I could tell you the story, but I bet all of you could tell me the story. So it is a tremendous benefit for Iowa. We do a tremendous amount of exports with China, and this is just going to continue to build on that. So we're very proud that he is leading that trade mission in China. But this morning, we're here to talk about financial aid awareness. And earlier this month, Governor Branstad proclaimed that April as Financial Aid Awareness Month to bring attention to the importance of financial education for students. Time after time, at home and around the world, we see poor financial decisions wreak havoc on governments and on personal bank accounts. By instilling the principles of sound budgeting within our youth, it is our hope to bring financial stability to families throughout Iowa. Reaching students at a younger age and helping them form responsible attitudes about money in their formative years paves the road for a future of financial stability for our citizens. And that's why today I am really pleased to announce a new online financial literacy program, which is offered through the Iowa College Student Age Commission, and the name of the program is Vault. Vault is an interactive web-based learning platform that is specifically designed to introduce financial literacy skills early in a child's cognitive development, specifically for grades 4 through 6. The program uses the latest in new media technologies to bring a really complex financial concepts to life for today's digital generation, while covering 6 easy-to-follow learning groups that map to both state and national education standards for financial literacy. Those 6 easy-to-follow groups include financial responsibility and decision-making, income and careers, planning and money management, credit and debt, insurance and risk management, and savings and investing. Assessments that measure students' knowledge gains occur throughout the program, and upon completing a learning group, students unlock a game which challenges them to make choices in real-life scenarios. Vault is available for free to Iowa elementary and middle schools through the Iowa College Age Scholarship, and this program is a great addition to the high school Iowa Financial Literacy Program, which is currently being used in over 150 high schools throughout Iowa. So with that, we would open it up for questions. It's made available through the Iowa College Age Commission, AIDS Commission, AID Commission. Did I say AIDS? They can go to the website, and I'm sure there's outreach that is being done with the high schools across the state of Iowa, just like they've been able to make them aware of the financial literacy program. So they're already in the school districts across the state of Iowa, and through that continued outreach, we'll really supplement that program so we can start at a younger age getting kids engaged and really understanding the importance of making financial decisions, good financial decisions going forward. I mean, well, I think, of course, that would always be the goal, but, you know, we're in 150 high schools right now with the Iowa Financial Literacy Program, so I think that would probably be a good base to build from. Since that program already exists within the school district, I think it makes a lot of sense to start with those and then continue to build from there.
Have you been deputized by the governor to negotiate on the administration's behalf on what's going on in the legislature, and if so, on what issues are you working on?
Well, I don't know if deputized is the correct terminology for that.
Are you acting governor?
No. No, the code says that, of course, I am responsible for working with the legislature, but we have a great team in place that continues to work, and I'm part of that team that continues to work with both the House and the Senate on an agenda that we've been working on for the last 2 years, and that is education reform and bringing jobs and growing the economy. So that means property tax reform, as well as making Iowa the healthiest state in the nation. There was a compromise that was made last week for education reform that is on the table. We have a compromise, it's on the table. And I think any time that you're in good faith negotiations, you anticipate either an acceptance of the proposal or a counteroffer. To my knowledge, we haven't seen either one yet. We have always made it very clear from the beginning that we are willing to invest additional money to education, but it needs to be tied to reform and it needs to be tied to achievement. And we believe that the offer that's on the table right now does both. And not only do we believe that, but we have the School Board Association, we have the school administrators, and we have the Urban Education Network that also believes that this is a fair offer. It's the 15th. We want to provide stability and predictability to school districts across the state of Iowa. If they would come together and either agree or counter, we can continue to provide that information to school districts across the state.
Overall, do you feel that everyone here has sort of let down the school districts by not being able to give them their financial plan for the next 2 years since we were able to meet today?
Well, you know, I think we can still do it. It doesn't have to be signed off on, but I think if they would agree to the offer that has been made, the proposal, then that does let school districts know what they can count on. That's 4% in 14, 4% in 15. So I think that this is, we've said all along, I mean, when did the House pass the bill? In February? So it's April 15th, and as we travel across the state and we hold numerous town halls, we have really advocated for the Senate and the House to work together. There's no reason that we couldn't pass reform tied to achievement at the same time that we pass the state supplemental aid. We have a proposal before us right now that does that very thing, and so it's a win-win for both the House and the Senate, and I think it's a true opportunity for everybody to sign behind, to stand behind the governor when he signs this bill into law. But we can take care of that. And we're not holding it up. Because we've put in place a strategy that does work. We've put in place reform. It's a comprehensive reform that's tied to achievement that meets the criteria that Senator Kornbach laid out several times, that the cost of education reform is 4% allowable growth. So they were able to find a way in the House to meet that challenge, and as well as providing education reform that meant that delivered flexibility to school districts, accountability to parents, and protection to taxpayers. So they were able to come together and meet what he said he needed, the Senate needed, in order to pass education reform. And so I believe that we have an offer where both sides are able to take away a win, and most importantly, it starts to transform this educational system. It brings it into the 21st century, and it gives our teachers and our students a better opportunity to be successful once they leave high school or enter post-secondary education.
Were you saying that the ball is in their court? You've made a good
I think
statement.
The ball is in their court. I think they've delivered a compromise. And so I haven't seen them come back with a counter or an acceptance. I think they need to do one or the other, and then if it's a good faith negotiation, then you move to the next step. So, you know, I think that's where we're at right now.
Senator Kornbach has made statements that it's not really 4%. It's actually 1% given all the votes.
Well, it's 2% because it's 2% supplemental state aid, 2% one-time money, and 4% in 15. So it is 4% and 4%. It's the same amount of money per student, $6,241, I think is what it equates to, in 14 and 15. So it is what it is. And I tell you what, again, as we travel across the state and we hold town halls and we talk about the importance of education reform, I've had superintendents and we've had superintendents bring up to us, they agree with the reform, they love the career pathways, teachers want the tools and the flexibility and the ability to be to co-teach with their teachers. It provides a career pathway so they can stay in the profession. It provides some accountability. And they've indicated that they just need this the state supplemental aid in place for the next 2 years. They referred to it as a transition until the new dollars kick in, which provides school district additional dollars for participating in the program. You know, I hope that here's how I feel about that. I hope he's had some time to think about it over the weekend. I hope he's had some time to talk to his superintendents and the educators and the administrators, and they can talk to him about how important it is to get this done. And I hope he'll come back and really sit down with that conference committee and figure out a way to get this done and to move forward on education reform so that we can take up the next issue, which is just as important, and that is really creating an environment where businesses can grow and expand, and that takes place by reforming commercial and industrial property tax reform. So, and then we move right into the Healthy Estate Initiative. So we need to get this one done. We need to let our educators know what they can count on for state supplemental aid going forward, and especially give teachers really the opportunity to teach in a 21st century model.
Last year, the governor, when there was a hearing in the House on education reform, the governor went down and spoke on behalf of the administration position. Tomorrow night, there's one on Medicaid reform. Is anybody from the administration going to go down and speak on?
I don't believe anybody from the administration is going to speak on the. I think that we have plenty of individuals that are out there that believe this is the right thing to do, and so I think we're going to have an opportunity to have a public hearing where individuals can come before the floor and come before the House and really make their position clear. There's a lot of support out there. When we're out in the state, we're meeting with people, and when you walk through how important it is to have an Iowa plan in place, to have Iowa legislators defining this, to look at ways that we can have healthy outcomes, to look at ways that we can sustain a program. There are a lot of opportunities. Nobody believes that the federal government is going to be able to sustain this program. Nobody believes that by moving 150,000 individuals into a program that's broken, that we're going to be able to sustain that, and we're going to create better health outcomes for those individuals. We want to work with them and really provide a scenario where they have health insurance, but also through health risk assessments and through healthy initiatives that they can start to take some ownership of their health and really impact not only their health, but the cost of health insurance going forward.
Just looking at your priorities.
Joyce, hang on. I'll be right there, okay?
Just looking at your priorities. So you want to get education taken care of, hopefully this week, and then take on property taxes. And then, and then the third issue would be healthcare, so it's
we're working on all of them, okay. Always. I mean, you're always working on all of them. We're working on legislation. We're working on refining it, making it better, understanding, explaining, talking about it, answering questions. But where's an opportunity to start moving some of those very focused initiatives off the plate? So we can get education taken care of this week if they get to work and come together and work together to provide a compromise.
So you're hopeful?
I'm extremely hopeful. I think it can get done. I don't see why not. You know, I think we have an obligation to do that. Again, this is a win-win for everybody, and it's really an opportunity for Iowa to lead the nation. I think because of the fiscal condition of this state and the tough choices that were made in the first 2 years of this administration, we actually have some money that we can put into reform. And I tell you, a lot of the other states, they're looking at areas that they have to cut because they're operating from a deficit, and we're operating from a fiscal financial state that we can make, that we can invest in issues that are important to this state and to Iowans.
Speaking of putting more money into education,
You know, we've spent a lot of time putting these figures together. We put together a two-year budget and a five-year projected, rolling projected budget, which takes into account, which ensures that we have ending balances that are sufficient to fund this initiative. We have had educators look at it. We put together a spreadsheet so that that took into account every single district in the state of Iowa to make sure that the funding that was in place was enough to really to fund the reform going forward. And I think there were about five schools that approximately that it was a little bit short. We've reached out to them. Most of them, we believe there are ways that they can work with the existing funding to implement the programs going forward. In the House bill that's been presented, it is optional, so it allows them time to see how the other school districts that are already implementing this, it'll allow them time to see what the cost is, how it works being implemented, and it gives us some time to maybe step back and look at doing things just a little bit differently. I just say there's a lot of skepticism. I should never say nobody, you know, but they do. You're right. But I would say a good portion of the individuals that we meet with as we travel the state of Iowa, when we walk through, they're operating with a $1 trillion deficit every year. They haven't passed a budget in 4 years, $17 trillion in debt, interest rates unbelievably low. I mean, there's a lot of skepticism. We'll put it that way. There's a lot of skepticism out there, and I think that they have a little more confidence in the state being able to provide a healthy Iowa initiative versus a mandate. And how many times have we seen a one-size-fits-all doesn't work? We've seen it with No Child Left Behind. I mean, we have numerous examples of how that doesn't work, and we need the flexibility to really design our own and make it Iowa-specific and deal with Iowans in the best possible manner.
Can I ask you a political question? You're probably aware Doug Gross said over the weekend he doesn't think you're going to run for the Senate. Can you respond to that?
Well, Doug Gross makes a lot of predictions. That's just what Doug Gross does. So I haven't had a conversation with Doug or told him any of my intentions moving forward. I'm doing the same thing that I told you I was doing a month ago, and that's continuing to gather information. I love public service. I love serving as lieutenant governor. So how that looks going forward, I think we have a great story to tell in the state of Iowa, and I love telling it in whatever capacity that it's going
to
be.
Are you content to continue to wait for Steve
Kane
to make a decision? He has said he's
getting
close.
Yeah, I think, I've talked to Steve a couple times. I don't know what his time frame is. I think he'll make it sooner rather than later, and I'm comfortable with that. I'm still talking to people and doing some research. So, you know, my goodness, the deadline's not until March. So of 2014, so we have some time yet to make that decision. And you know what? Ultimately, you don't have an open U.S. Senate seat very often, and I can tell you that everybody is doing what they can to make sure that we have the very best candidate that's willing to step up so that we can be successful in retaining this U.S. Senate seat. I think they did.
You give on property tax reform, we'll give on ed reform.
Oh, I don't think so. It's called both people. It's called all parties coming to the table and working through negotiations. And I think they, you know, the education reform is a good example of that. So hopefully that's an opportunity. They said the Democrats said what they needed. The House said what they needed. I think they've worked on a compromise. So hopefully we can lead by example, get that done this week, and then we'll start take on the next issue. The foundation for the following year is just built on the 2%, not the 4. But for fiscal year 14, they will get 4% state supplemental aid.
Great. Thanks, everybody.